I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, chart manager / editorial liaison.
This is where we look at why what's on the charts is on the charts. Also give a historical perspective as well, because a lot of stuff that's happening now maybe has never happened before, which we see this week on the Billboard Hot 100 at number one. So lots to get to this week. We'll run down the top 10 of the Hot 100, which, yeah, includes a new number one. It's the fourth new number one in the last 4 weeks. That's pretty rare. First mostly Spanish language song at number one in 21 years. And historic for Justin Bieber, number one in back-to-back weeks. We'll get into all that. Our guest this week is Lee Leipzner, who heads up radio promotion for Columbia Records. He'll fill us in on the rollout of Harry Styles' new album. Looks like it's headed for number one on the Billboard 200. Latest on the Chainsmokers, who continue to be in the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100, and so much more. We're also going to flash back to maybe the most famous phone number in rock history, Trevor.
Got to be it for now.
All right, first, here's this week's top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 10.
Your friend in Cupid is fine now. We go end on a high note. I spy with my little eye a girly I can get, cause she don't get too many likes. A curly headed cutie I could turn into my wife.
Number 9.
Who is A? A minute, just take your time. The clock is ticking, so stay. All you have to do is wait a second.
Number 8.
Push me to the edge. Phantom, that's all red. Inside all white. Like something you ride a sled. Down. I just want that head. My brilliant, I'm mad. A brilliant, her man. No. Everybody got some.
Number 7.
Oh, I want something just like this.
Number 6. Number 5.
Sit down.
Number 4.
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body. Last night you were in my time.
Number 3. And number 1.
And hey, check that out. Again, a new number one. So if you guys have been listening for the past couple weeks, this is a nice little turnover rate we got for the fourth week in a row. Like Gary mentioned at the top of the show, this is a new number one, Despacito, which is Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee featuring Justin Bieber. Huge week for the song, obviously getting to number one and making some language waves as well. It's the first song that is mostly in Spanish to hit number one since the Macarena back in 1996. So I'm sure everybody remembers the Macarena, whether you were alive, not alive, doing it. Everyone knows that song. It's right. Just...
You were 5 years old at the time. Do you remember learning to walk and do the Macarena?
You're walking. By the time I was five, I was walking quite well. Running, I might even add. Yeah, I remember, like, you know, like in PE class back in elementary school, they made a little hybrid kind of thing. I remember doing the Macarena, like, at the time that it was popular.
They taught it in schools. It was that big.
Yeah, it was that. Yeah, it was Macarena that class. Big a thing. It was Macarena, and this is kind of a side note, but Aretha Franklin's "Respect" were the two songs that they kept on like loop in our PE class. I didn't know who Aretha Franklin was at the time, but I knew that song. I love that song. But yes, for Despacito, the first Spanish language song, and so we're talking about 21 years.
Yeah,
huge hit there, and it's just the third ever Spanish song to hit number one on the Hot 100. Some of you guys may remember La Bamba back in 1987, the first song to do it and the only song that is entirely in Spanish to hit number one. You know, Macarena had the Bayside Boys remix, which had some English verses in there as well, and Despacito, kind of the first about 45 seconds or so, Justin Bieber on this new version speaking in English.
And then Luis Fonsi has one very quick line in English later in the song.
Yes, he does. Look at Gary on the watch. But so third time we get a Spanish song at number one. And of course, we've had a few songs on the Hot 100 as well, not in Spanish, but in other languages that have been big hits. Probably the most recent famous example, Psy's Gangnam Style back in 2012, South Korean. So the right. Song is in Korean.
Got to number two.
Could not overtake Maroon 5. So yeah, I mean, every once in a while, you know, it's kind of crazy how some of these songs that most people... you know, probably do not understand the language that the song's sung in. They're just, whether it's the rhythm, it's the production, it's the vocals. I mean, there's something about it that, you know, Gary, helps people cross that barrier. You may not understand what they're saying, right. But you get the feeling, you get the mood, the rhythm. And it's funny, too, because I know there are people, I remember especially when Shakira's La Tortura came out about maybe 2005 or so. And I know a lot of people who, it was funny, they learned all the words to the song. They had no clue what it meant. Right. Like, couldn't tell you a single phrase except maybe the title, but they could sing the entire song, which I think is like such a cool aspect of that kind of thing.
And I know a lot of people in other countries, they've told artists in America that they learned English by listening to English pop music. So the power of music to teach language goes both ways.
They probably all know, you know, Throw Your Hands Up or something is probably crazy out there. Yeah.
Well, you know, we've seen some other hits in recent years, too. I mean, you mentioned Psy, but also Bailando by Enrique Iglesias, number 12 hit on the Hot 100. That was a huge Spanish language hit. Even Nicky Jam has hit the pop songs chart a couple times in 2015, 2016 with Spanish language songs. So even though it's rare for a song to get to number one like this on the Hot 100, we're starting to see some more examples of songs breaking through as demographics change. Maybe we're seeing more Latin music hits cross over to the mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask, that's my next point, is particularly that the Spanish, I don't want to say invasion, because I guess that gives the wrong sort of context to it, but I mean, obviously, the song hitting number one is a huge milestone. Do you think that whether it's going to be, you know, the songs in the original form, or people are going to think about adding a Justin Bieber or a Rihanna or someone to a Drake? We saw with Nicky Jam as well.
Right.
Do you think that sort of English-Spanish hybrid could be something we could definitely see in the next few years?
I mean, it seems like that's been the model to get to number one. Both Macarena and now Despacito have done that. So I think it's just kind of a way to bring everybody in. You get the core Spanish language and Latin music fans. You get English-speaking fans. It kind of just increases the mass appeal of a song. So it would make sense if labels and artists continue to do that, sure.
And, of course, speaking of that superstar that they added onto the track, Justin Bieber, having yet another big week on the Hot 100. It's a huge week for him. obviously getting to number one with this song this week. If you guys remember last week as well, he was number one with a different song on DJ Khaled's I'm the One, which he was featured on along with Quavo, Chance the Rapper, and Lil Wayne. So Bieber, 2 weeks in a row, number one, but the big thing is two different songs at number one, which is something we have never seen before on the Hot 100.
Yeah, it's very rare for an artist to replace themselves at all at number one. It's happened. Bieber is already one of 12 artists to do that. When Love Yourself replaced Sorry, he became the 12th to do that. So it's pretty rare just to be number one and then replace yourself at number one. But of all the previous times that had happened, no one had ever done that in consecutive weeks. So say like the Black Eyed Peas had Boom Boom Pow and I Got a Feeling in 2009, but that was spread out after 12 weeks at number one for the first song and then 14 weeks for I Got a Feeling. It wasn't like they did it in back-to-back weeks. The closest anyone had come before Bieber was the Beatles.
One, two. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In 1964, She Loves You hit number one March 21st, 1964. That stayed at number one for another week, so it was the following week. So a span of 3 weeks instead of two until Can't Buy Me Love took over. So Bieber beats the Beatles for what they did in 1964.
First of all, I'm sure Will.i.am is not upset that he had 26 weeks at number one.
It is kind of an odd stat. It's almost like you get punished for this particular record for having a longer run at number one because the stat is going to number one consecutive weeks. But still, for no one to have done it before, it's pretty amazing.
Because it is interesting, too, because a lot of these times that you have to replace yourself at number one, you really have to have, most times, an extended run at number one in time for the second single to get up there.
Right.
But this sort of, you know, quick switch replacement – it really seems like that is indicative of the environment that we're currently in music.
Right.
You know, we kind of talked a little bit last week about how, especially thanks to streaming and the rise of these services, that, you know, people, not even just in your country, but around the world, can digest a single almost instantaneously. And, you know, then you can put out another thing and they're ready for the next one. It doesn't feel like overexposure, which I know a lot of people, you know, especially back in the 2000s and the 90s.
Right.
I mean, that's why you had for some reasons, longer breaks between albums is because, you know, we don't want to put too many out there and people get tired of Mariah or Janet or Usher, whoever.
But just technologically, back then you had to ship physical copies of singles or albums to stores, and that just took time for the actual pressings and the shipments to happen. Now in a digital world, it's so easy for a song to just be put on iTunes immediately. So I think that's exactly right. That's why we're seeing this. Here's the other interesting thing, Trevor, is so first time an artist has gone back-to-back number one in consecutive weeks on the Hot 100, Bieber the last 2 weeks. Less than 3 months ago, the same thing happened for the first time on the Billboard 200. It was Future going to number one with Future and Hendrix March 11th and 18th. And that was the first time, same thing, on the Billboard 200 that an act had been number one back-to-back with new albums in back-to-back weeks on the Billboard 200. So the Billboard 200 goes back to 1956, the Hot 100, 1958. We'd never seen artists go back-to-back number one on each chart until the last 3 months. It's happened now on both charts. I don't think that's entirely coincidence. I think, as you were just saying, it's a combination of both technology changing and just how we're seeing as a result of that, people knowing they can just drop a song or an album even at any point. Like you were saying, in the 90s and the 80s, you know, Michael Jackson, maybe the biggest artist of the 80s, he went...
Maybe.
One of the biggest. Madonna might have something to say about that.
She has no case.
He released what, Thriller in 82. He didn't release Bad until 87 and then 91, Dangerous. I remember getting into music in 88. That was between Madonna albums. She didn't come back until 1989, and it was like she was completely off the radar to me. Whereas nowadays, just even from social media, even if you don't release music, you have that kind of a presence. So it's much more of a 24/7 world than it was back then. And I think that's a big part of why we're seeing these records now.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing that I guess, you know, going forward, especially now people have seen the success that these albums and particularly the songs have. I think creating two whole albums, I mean, congrats to Future, but I don't see many people really putting, you know, that much into the game anymore, which is kind of cool for him to have a record that you know, probably will stand for a long time. But in singles in particular, and you have to wonder, many people may have thought that, you know, again, with two Bieber songs out there, is that going to split attention? Is that going to, you know, block one from number one, and maybe he'll have to have a one and two? Of course, not a bad consolation prize at all, but would it kind of, you know, would the balance not quite be there? And I think that in particular, that going forward, I think maybe artists will be a little less scared about, you know, sort of working one single at a time, and we'll give it its room. I mean, with so many different, you know, radio formats going on and streaming, like we said, I mean, people will listen to a song and in a week it'll kind of be...
Yeah, attention spans have become different,
yeah.
I think, in the digital and social media age. And at the same time, we can't diminish the status of Future and Bieber. It's not like every artist is doing this. It's not just like it's suddenly easy to do. We have to totally say that very few artists probably could do this. Future and Bieber are two of the biggest stars in music. So it's also just their talents and their fan bases.
I'm not sure if it's just that style of music or that fan base that really is there, because at the same time, you've got a lot of women artists who seem to really take their time between albums. You know, when Adele was off the radar, she was gone. Beyonce in a lot of ways, too. I mean, she always is a little sort of more silent and selective on social media, but as well. But in particular, Taylor as well. I know people have really been pointing that out, that she's made this conscious choice to really disappear. She doesn't tweet as much as she used to and doesn't Instagram quite as much. Really off the radar. I'm sure as the album cycle, supposedly this year, is coming, she'll ramp back up. But
maybe 4 straight weeks of new Taylor Swift albums?
Well,
is that what you're thinking?
Because she used to do that, well, 1990, 91, 92, and 93. But she used to do that thing. She was kind of one of the first people who put out that preview song a week,
right,
every week. And, you know, maybe back in 2011 or so when she did that, it was a little too much too soon. You know, Spotify hadn't quite taken off. YouTube was the only way there. But, you know, streaming wasn't really on the charts or anything like that, so it didn't quite affect it in that way. A lot of those songs also still debuted top 10 just off their sales. I wonder now, you know, with this go-round, if she tried that same strategy out of 5 songs, you could have 2-3 number ones with her stature. Who knows?
And with Bieber, it's also, I think, part of the key is that he's hitting so many different audiences. On I'm the One, he's got Chance the Rapper, and you've got Lil Wayne, so it's much more hip-hop, still with a huge pop hook. And then Despacito, him jumping on to a Latin music song. So you just really found these two songs back-to-back weeks were just sort of a perfect storm of hitting so many different people.
Have you seen that meme? This is a little old. I think he retweeted or Instagrammed it as well, where it was like, it showed a split screen of like Beliebers in 2010, which was, you know, young girls, you know, 9 to 12 who were into the baby kind of thing, and then it has a split screen of Beliebers in 2015, and it's like a bunch of these like just like hard black dudes, like just like, you know, muscle, shirtless, whatever. And it's like that is the flip. I mean, the fact that he sort of made that audience, you know, all into him is incredible. And like you said, I mean, even though he's on two very different sounding songs, neither of them feels like inauthentic. It doesn't feel like this is, you know, forced or canned or
right.
We need a pop superstar to make this work. It just, it works.
All right. Another act that's actually been releasing songs on a little bit of a schedule of whenever they've kind of wanted, although then they finally put out their album, their first full length, went to number one. The Chainsmokers in the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 for 54 straight weeks now, with 4 different top 10s. Huge success. Harry Styles' new album released May 12th, on its way to number one on the Billboard 200. So we've got Lee Leipzner stop by here on the Billboard Sharpie podcast to talk about everything going on at Columbia. Also, James Arthur doing really well with Say You Won't Let Go. So he is our special industry insider interview this week here on the Billboard Sharpie podcast. Lee Leipzner from Columbia Records.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Stop you crying, it's a sign of the times. Welcome to the final show.
Lee Leipzner, Executive Vice President of Promotion for Columbia Records. Thanks so much for coming by.
Hey guys, happy to be here.
Kind of surprised you even have a moment with all the hits you're working.
It's always a moment, Gary, when you want to talk shop and you want to talk music. Never a problem.
All right, well, you guys are in such a run of hits. I figure we just talk about all of them and kind of get behind the scenes of how a lot of these songs and artists have been so big on the charts.
Well, you know, it's a good fortune of having really talented artists, and a good run is, you know, a lot of it's timing, but it's always about the music first, you know, and front and center. And I think that we have such an incredible roster that it's almost like you get one, another one comes along, three or four, and next thing you know, you kind of got a little bit of a nice build up here. And, you know, we take nothing for granted, very humbled about it, but it's nice to have a good run. And like I said, the music has been spectacular.
Before we get into individual acts, just tell everyone what exactly your job is, what you do, and how long you've been there.
Okay, let's start with what I do. My job is to oversee all of, you know, terrestrial radio, all formats. I oversee everything from alternative, even urban, to pop, to rhythm, Hot AC. And then that's on the terrestrial side. I obviously deal with Sirius, which we like very much, and they're, you know, great to work with. They offer an amazing platform and product, and their channels are really well programmed. It's almost like Baskin Robbins, but it's 101 channels you can choose from instead of 31 flavors. But it's really, really good. And I oversee the video. We have a great head of video, Jason Pleskow, but I oversee him, and, you know, he does an incredible job. So I get a taste of a little bit of everything.
And how long have you been there?
Oh, let's see. Old Sony Music. I've been there for all in about 24 years.
Really?
Yeah, and I look good, right?
He does, doesn't he, Trevor?
Thank you.
That's great, yeah.
Thank you.
So that's, what, 93?
93, yes.
93,
exactly.
Yeah.
Just doing my math. Yeah. In my head.
We got there.
A little bit.
We won't say how old Trevor was.
Trevor looks like a baby here.
Oh, yeah, 93. No memories. I was one, two. Yeah.
It's okay. It's been a great run. I was at Mercury Records before that. I was the DC local, and I started in a record store when I was 15. That's how it all started. Worked in the mailroom of Capitol Records when I went to University of Maryland, and then became a local promotion manager for Mercury, and then found my way to Columbia, and did two tours of duty at Sony. One at Columbia first, Epic, and then back to Columbia. And it's been amazing.
So congratulations on almost 25 years.
Thank you. Thank you. I better get a podcast when that happens.
So we'll have an anniversary piece for you.
I want to have a special just for me, okay? Thank you.
All right. Harry Styles. Let's start with Harry. A lot of the talk about Sign of the Times has been how it wasn't maybe quite the record that everyone was expecting. All the Bowie comparisons, sort of this 70s rock sound. How's it been on your side?
I think it's been incredible. I mean, first of all, he's one of the nicest, humble. He's incredibly talented, knows exactly what he wants. When I met him, when One Direction first landed in the States, he has never changed, meaning he's so accommodating, so giving, and truly talented. They all are. But hearing this record, it kind of blew me away, because I knew a little bit of direction he was going to go in, but until you hear the final, you know, product, the final song, you don't really know until you heard it. And I was blown away. I remember looking at Harry and his manager, Jeff Azoff, and I was like, I need a minute here. Because they were asking me, what do you think? And right. I needed to breathe for a second, because it was so much to take in. It was so good. And sonically, just really pushed the boundaries. And I think it was an amazing artistic statement. I think it shifted the paradigm a bit. And I couldn't wait to work it. It was one of those moments where you knew it wasn't out yet, but you couldn't wait to get your hands on it. And it's very sophisticated. It's highbrow. But I think that's what makes it unique. and it stands out that way.
Was there a part of you, though, that was worried that this is pretty different from what, you know, it's not Trop House, it's different from Top 40,
and
right?
Part
now.
Of it, I mean, it's almost sure. 6 minutes in length, so, you know,
that was
that
well,
kind of
that was
edit.
A little challenging, but I will tell you, and Harry understood this, we went with that version first to radio. It was only 24 hours, but we wanted to make sure radio heard it the way it was written, the way it was intended to be. And, you know, they're smart. They gave us an edit right away, and they knew that we had to shorten it a bit. Did I think there was going to be challenges? Yeah, I mean, you knew some of the rhythmic guys would have a tough time with this, but I just hoped that radio would understand, and programmers and gatekeepers, that this is a statement. It is different. It's supposed to be different. I mean, he didn't write an album going, I want to just, he wrote what was in his heart and what was in his head.
Right.
And he had a vision, and he had it for a while, and this is what he wanted to get out. And I'll tell you, I couldn't be prouder. I am so happy with this record, and the audience is really starting to connect. It's just going to take a minute.
The more I hear it on radio, the more it sounds less shocking each time you hear it.
And Gary, I'm getting emails from programmers saying that. Some did not know what to make of this. It's not a dance track. It's not electronic. It's not 17 songwriters out there, the ones we all hear about. It's not a feature.
Right.
It's Harry.
Right.
And it's Harry. And that's who it is. And it's his music. And the whole album's sort of in that lane. And I think it's unique. And I think it's an important record. I really do. And I'm really glad he went in this direction. I really am. Look, I know Harry doesn't want it. He didn't think about the Beatles or Bowie. He wanted to make this type of record, which, yes, it's people say, well, I love the references. The references are great. I don't think he went in saying, I'm going to make a Queen record or a David Bowie record, but I love the references. You couldn't ask for better. I mean, back in the day, you know, nobody asked Bohemian Rhapsody for an edit. No one asked for, you know, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. I mean, just the feedback and the compliment and the fact that, you know, we're hoping that that One Direction audience will stay with him. But more importantly, he's growing his audience. This record is getting airplay on AAA.
Right. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Did that surprise you?
No, Gary. It surprised me. Well, I'll tell you what. I want to give a compliment to a programmer who's very smart and very musically driven, and that's Jim McGuinn in Minneapolis at The Sound. He wrote an email to his staff, which I wish I could share. I wish I had it to read to you guys. It was just about the art and how special it is. And don't get caught up on Harry Styles. The name has nothing to do with anything. Yes, he's a great artist, but it's the song. Listen to how beautiful and how adventurous this is and how timely this is. And I just, you know, you wish everybody would mirror that. And that started, and then, you know, KBCO and other states and you know, the river in Boston. And you're going, wow, this is amazing. And those are very – I think those programmers should get – you know, they all should get credit because it's smart. It's smart because they didn't let the name Harry Styles or the connection One Direction stop them from playing a potential hit record for their adult audience. KGSR, by the way, in Austin. I have to give them a shout-out too.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like people make this comparison with Justin Timberlake a lot, how when he came out of the NSYNC days, you know, obviously a boy band, obviously has a stigma attached to him. But then, you know, when you get in with – the rhythmic audience and sort of how he became this R&B star, and people would think, you know, Justin Timberlake, you know, getting major play on R&B, I mean, winning R&B Grammys, that would be unprecedented. But it seems like that Harry's making that same kind of connection, that he's, I mean, not that he's going, you know, from pop to R&B, but at least growing outside of the range of people thought that, you know, a teen boy band breakout star could go so
sure.
quickly.
Look, Justin's a world-class artist, you know, and I think you knew when you went to see NSYNC that he was a breakout. There's no question. You know, but no one can ever say it's going to get to the level it got. I mean, you have an idea. All the One Direction guys are very talented. I was very lucky to work with them. I hope to work with them all again. I think they're all my friends, and they're all immensely talented. They're all making great music. Harry, you know, again, people say that all the time to me, and I think Harry, again, I know this sounds simple, but he just wants to be himself. I think he's proud because of the record he wanted to make. And where it falls in line, I guess the audience will tell us. But I know he's proud. He has an incredible band. They wrote in Jamaica. They recorded there. They had a great time doing it. And, yeah, it's nice. Like I said, it's nice to have a comparison of Justin Timberlake. I hope he becomes that. It'd be great. But I think he's happy being who he is. And I just love his whole vision. When he put the tour up on sale, there were theaters. He probably could have done arenas.
Right.
He said, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. I hope people want to hear this music because it's not going to be a One Direction show. He just did stadiums for 6 years doing that. He wants it to be about the new album. And he took us, he took a slower approach, and I thought it was brilliant. Those shows sold out in 25 seconds, and yes, it leaves people wanting more, but he'll get to them. He's gonna play for a lot of people this year or next year.
In some ways, is working Sign of the Times easier than One Direction? I've always thought it's interesting how, as huge as they are, with number one albums, just immense touring numbers, it feels like they've been a little hit and miss sometimes at top 40 radio. Maybe a little too young sounding, some of their songs.
I think it was a stigma, Gary. You know, I think it was one of those things where people just thought, but it's funny, as the band grew, first of all, I don't care whatever kind of music you like. What Makes You Beautiful was an amazing pop song.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. You cannot help that song got in your head. It was one of the best pop songs I've ever worked. But if you follow their career, the records were getting older as the albums kept coming out. Story of My Life.
Right.
These are big records.
Right.
You know? And they were growing as musicians, as songwriters. They're never going to be dancers. That's not who they are. Thank God. But the art was getting broader. And yeah, Gary, some of these people, some of the programmers and some of the public, you know, they were niched. They were niched as this little teen pop band. And some of that was unwarranted. Some of it was unfair because the music was, you know, was reaching a different level. Niall's last record was very adult.
Yeah.
It was simple.
Right.
But it was very adult.
Right.
It had a great run at Hot AC. So you're reaching those mothers. And by the way, those One Direction kids are now grown up. I mean, they're six, 7 years, you know, older. Think about that.
True. Right.
So this, I think the music has evolved with them. I think that was important. And I think they're growing. They were just kids when they got together. And now they're a whopping age of 23.
You mentioned, Lee, sort of alluded to it, future of One Direction. You said you hope to work them again in the future. What do you know about the future of the band?
I look, they didn't close any doors. They didn't break up. They're taking a hiatus. They're working on, everybody has a solo record coming. They're all in the studio. They all put stuff out, except for Liam, who's got a great record coming out soon on Republic. He's very talented. They're all making their own statement right now. But, you know, collectively, I hope they all come together. I can only imagine what a One Direction record is going to sound like after this process.
I've been reading books of old, the legends and the myths, Achilles and his gold, Achilles and his gifts, and Spider-Man's control.
Let's move on to another act.
Sure.
That, I'm assuming has been taking up a lot of your working hours for the last year plus. The Chainsmokers.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
in the top 10, which is other than Katy Perry, 69 straight weeks in 2010, 2011, we've never seen this before. It's really historic, the run the Chainsmokers are on. Did it surprise you?
Well, anytime you make history, you got to be humbled about it. You can't predict that. But I'll tell you what, when we got them on Columbia, we knew the songs were great. We knew they were writing at a different level, and they weren't the selfie band anymore. And they were pigeonholed as this one hit novelty, and now they're a true force in pop music. I think that we kind of had a confidence in that because we knew the songs were really breakthrough. And those Alex and Drew they're a hit machine right now. They're just writing, you know, incredibly great pop songs that are working. They're transitioning very well. Drew is now out, you know, leading some of these songs. It's not all features, which is great.
Right.
And I love the fact that a guy like Chris Martin took a chance with a group like this and worked so well because I love that they both kept sort of their credibility. They didn't go off and make some crazy record that was so far off the edge that you were like, what's he doing? Or what are they doing?
It's exactly a Coldplay and Chainsmokers.
Yeah. It's a great collaboration and it worked. And, you know, the album is so deep. And, yeah, I mean, I'm again, it's great to be a part of this because, it could have been easy to sort of write them off. You'll see them on a compilation down the road, you know, the one-hit wonders, and there it is. And now, like I said, they've been, you know, an amazing impact force at the at radio and culturally. They have.
What are those guys like? Have you hung out with them?
Always thinking of ideas. Very creative. They're very nice. I mean, they're approachable. They love radio. They love people that support them. Always working.
They seem kind of shy in a way. They're low-key guys who aren't, you know, they're not full of themselves.
They're confident as anything. They're humbled, and they want to always get ahead of this at all times. They always want to have what I love about this group, they're always working on music. The A&R process always, they're one step ahead of everybody else because they don't want a lull.
Yeah, it was almost surprising when they put out the album.
Right.
Like, oh, they're doing something.
And an EP and then right into an album.
Right.
And people picked up on different tracks. We like that. That's part of the Spotify, you know, streaming generation right now. You're going to put more tracks out. That's okay. We identified the songs we all wanted to push forward, and you keep the fan base happy. You keep feeding them, you know, new music. But they will always be one step ahead as far as putting music out. And I like that about them. They're not gonna, there's not going to be a lull with the Chainsmokers. They might take a little break for a minute. A minute when I'm talking about 2 weeks, a month maybe, but there'll be more music out. And that's what I like. The wheels are always in motion with those guys.
Let's talk specifically about Closer. Record-setting song. 12 weeks at number one.
Yeah.
Longest run in the top five.
Wow.
Longest run in the top 10 from a song's debut. Every week it just seemed like we were seeing something that had never been done before. What do you think, in your opinion, is the appeal to Closer? What made this such a big hit?
I think that it was – the appeal was to me – first of all, I think Halsey did a great job. I think Halsey brought sort of a indie kind of vibe to it, and I thought she was great. I thought they was a great compliment. But I think the song is simple. It's easy to sing along to. It got in your head, and those are some of the biggest songs. It just worked. It flowed well about the relationship and what they were singing about, and I think – kids especially really identified, and it's one of those records I think it just got in your head and it never left, and it still is. And yes, knock on wood, it tested, it sold, it like you said, Gary, it was significant airplay wise. I mean, it broke a lot of records, and again, it was just such an impactful record that came at the right time. But I think the magic really was Halsey with them. I think that really made the difference, having her on that record, and she's got great socials, she's got great appeal. And I think the way that Drew and her sort of played out with this, it was believable, because it is. And that's what made it so special.
All right. Trevor's already looked ahead. He's got the date set for when Chainsmokers tie or pass Katy Perry's record.
Yeah, when is that day, Trevor?
So that magic day, they would tie Katy Perry September 9th of this year. So
I got a lot of work to do.
So yeah, got to keep them going. And of course, if they go one more week, September 16th, that would be 70. They'd have it all to themselves.
That'd be amazing.
Well, it seems like something just like this is going to be a top 10 hit for the foreseeable future.
And I love that it's on 6 formats of radio right now. Alternative.
Right.
Embraced it.
It's like the Harry Styles. The song Chainsmokers are getting played on alternative radio.
It's fantastic. Don't we love that though? Because I don't like that people put records in boxes. It drives me bananas. People, we don't think, the public doesn't think that way. They like what they like. And if they don't, they'll let you know. We're in a world where people tell you very quickly what they like and they don't. But don't put records in boxes. You know what I mean? I don't like, I mean, yes, I understand structure of how things have to sort of be built out. But listeners don't think like we do, and programmers, they don't. They just like what they like. And if you present it to them the right way and you package it properly, you know, they're the ultimate gatekeepers and decision makers.
You've been on the front line of radio for, as you said, more than a couple
time,
of decades now. Is that thinking lessening? Do you really see that overall? Program directors are traditionally very in that box of thinking songs belong in certain places. Are you seeing that lessen in a streaming world where people can just go on YouTube, go on anywhere and just make their own playlist? And there do seem to be fewer barriers for listeners.
That's a really good question. I do. And there's some really, really smart programmers who understand. I'm not going to name any because then they'll say you didn't name me, but there are, and there's a lot of them out there. I just feel like here's the thing when I look at Gary. There's a lot of boxes to be checked when looking at a hit record. If you're checking 6 out of 8 boxes, you're pretty good. You're probably going to the Hall of Fame. What frustrates me is when you rely just on research. That drives me nuts, and that's probably a whole other podcast, but there's so much more to look at now. There's so much more data. And also, I still believe – from a radio standpoint, and we work well together with programmers and obviously stations and our relationships, and is go out and talk to your audience. They'll tell you. They know. Rag and Bone Man played the Today Show because it's starting to become pop culture now.
Right.
And it's now starting to connect. It was a global hit, and now it's starting to connect here. It took a minute. It wasn't as explosive out of the gate, but now it's starting to fall in line. And the same thing happened in the UK. But, you know, some people got worried a few weeks back. Oh, it's not reacting the way we thought it was. Hang tight. It's coming. Then you see it on ESPN. Then you see it on a few Fox shows where it was licensed. Then you see the kid on The Voice who did it on Adam Levine's team, and it shot up from that.
Right.
His version and Rag and Bone Man's version. And you just got to let things fall in line sometimes. You just got to follow your audience. They'll take you to the right place. They will.
Yeah, that's on the pop songs chart now, and it's really rare these days to have a rock song on pop radio.
Well, I think what made this work, that it's soulful. There's a soulfulness to his voice. He came from a hip-hop background.
True.
So I think that's helped a lot of people. They're like, oh, it's Hozier Part 2. It is and it isn't. Because people like to say these are fringe records. I don't know. I hate all this terminology. It's just records. just good songs. People need to find good songs, and they will. They always do.
Going back to Chainsmokers, sure. Any thoughts on the next single?
We're not there yet.
The streak has got to keep
going.
Do you have any choices? Oh gosh,
I'm gonna put you on the spot.
It feels like, let me see, all songs. I feel like Break 'Em Every Night is probably the one that most people, have leaned towards. Yeah.
She wants to break up every night. She wants to break up every night. Don't want to wait until she finally decides to feel it. She wants to break up every night.
A lot of people like Honest. A lot of people like Young. There's a few. There's a few in there. The good news is we have some time, but we are going to make a decision soon. But what I love about the Chainsmokers is a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the group. And we really want to position Drew, again, as a Drew song, because it's important to establish him as a singer and be the front man. There's a great song on the album with them in the Florida Georgia Line.
Right.
That's another one. We'll get to that. They're going to do it. They're performing that together soon. And, it's just good looks, multiple looks, and it's great.
Let's move on to one other act.
Sure.
And similar, I guess, in some ways, to Rag & Bowman, just in terms
kind
of
making
of,
his way up.
Yeah. And with a little bit of a rock edge, I guess, James Arthur.
It's been great.
Kind of a surprise top 40 hit?
No, I'll tell you why. Because the song is so authentic, and it's emotive. And I just think it was needed at the right time. It spoke to females. And he is legit. I mean, the way he wrote it and sings it, there's nothing fake about that song. I think that's what helps sell that song, because you think he's singing it to you. And the one line, which I always say is the one the girls all like, is, I held your hair back when you were throwing up. It's just relatable, and it's one of those lines. It's just very memorable.
It's like an Instagram caption. I can see people like liking it because it's authentic. It's not some, kind of cliched.
You can't make that up, right?
It's like you've been there.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what? What says more than people holding air with people throwing up? That's pretty romantic.
Yeah, that's dedication.
Parentheses, the throw up song.
We danced the night away. We drank too much. I held your hair back when you were throwing up. Then you smiled over you.
Feels like a song that Ed Sheeran did in the past. And now that he's got Shape of You, which is up-tempo, this is maybe sort of filling the sensitive singer, songwriter, male.
Sam Smith on a break too.
Right.
I think, there's a good comparisons. James, he was on X Factor in the UK back in the day. And he sort of had a rebirth, and he got signed to Sony Germany. And then Psycho, which is Simon Cowell's company, they re-signed. He was dropped, but then he signed up again. And this record became this global hit. But it is really coming together now here. He's touring all summer with One Republic and Fits in the Tantrums. And he's out to work. He's coming back in June to do radio shows. And then he'll probably do a small tour in the fall here. So he's very visible here and really likes the States, which makes it easier.
And the pop remix, the up-tempo remix, is getting their play as well.
Yeah. One of the first stations to play the record was Amp in L.A. And Kevin and Michelle and John Michael, it was actually Kevin's assistant who was out front, who loved the song, and brought it to him. And they were talking about it. He called me, and you wouldn't think this is an Amp record right out of the gate. And they were there. And when I said to Kevin, I go, "So I guess you're going to play that." He goes, "Absolutely not. I'm playing the regular version."
Yeah.
I don't want to play the uptight. I don't want to do that to my audience. He wanted them to hear that version, and the record's done very, very well there. And it's been significant, and it's been dramatic, and we're well on our way. And he has follow-ups, which is great. There's the next song, Can I Be Him? It's already starting in the UK, but we feel really confident moving forward. We're going to have a great run with James, through the year.
You have so many other acts we need to talk about, Lee. Can we have you come back?
You got it. Happy to do it.
Tell them I was happy and my heart is broken. All my scars are open. Tell them what I hoped would be impossible. Impossible.
No, that is not a mistake. That actually is James Arthur's cover of the song Impossible by Chantel, which was his song when he won the X Factor back in the UK. That was a song that he chose as his winner single, and they released it just
a Chantel flashback.
Because I heard it actually on Spotify the other day, and you know, of course, you're like, I didn't recognize the instrumentation, but I knew the lyrics, and I was like, wait, I know this. Okay. Oh wow. I mean, the song's only, you know, 5-6 years old, but I just forgot about it. And that song was on the radio a lot.
It was a big hit at the time. Didn't it become a big hit on like Idol and on all the different shows? Wasn't everyone singing it?
It seems like that would be. I confess I was off the Idol train at that point, but it definitely seems like the kind of song that would be. Obviously, it was on the UK X Factor, so I'm sure, you know, it kind of straddles that line between upbeat enough but ballady enough to where it's, you know, not boring, but it's not, but you can show off your vocals,
right?
And
right.
I think people grabbed onto that.
Yeah, so going deep on the James Arthur catalog here. Never mind, you won't let go.
And getting that Chantel mention out there.
So yeah, great stuff from Lee Leifner, Columbia Records, talking about Harry Styles, the different styles, no pun intended, on the album. Chainsmokers, what might be coming next for them as they continue in the top 10 of the Hot 100. So much to get to from Lee, so he is going to come back on the podcast. We'll get into Beyonce, Adele, Haim, one of my favorites on Columbia. So more from Lee coming up on the podcast. But right now, never mind Chantel. We're going to go back even way further than that.
We are. We're going back to 1982 this week. Gary's talking about Harry Styles maybe being number one next week on the Billboard 200. This week, we're talking about Logic being number one on the Billboard 200, which huge breakthrough for him. In particular, he's got a song on the album with Alessia Cara and Khalid. Phone number is the title, not phone number.
His new song, Phone Number.
I mean, Hotline Bling, you know, that's Call true. Me Maybe.
Right.
Phone number's out there. But the song is actually 1-800-273-8255.
Pretty serious matter for what the number is.
Yeah, if you don't know, the number is the real-life number to the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, which the song obviously kind of goes into that theme a lot.
He tweeted that he wanted to put out a song that would really help people, so it came from his heart, putting this song out.
And definitely, you know, as Logic, kind of one of these on-the-scene regional rappers who's obviously now hit a new milestone, definitely cool that he's using that new platform to advance a good cause.
Let me just ask you real quick, Trevor, what was behind this huge first number one for Logic on the Billboard 200? Do you think because he hasn't had really a big hit single, this is just his first number one? He's had top tens before, but any thoughts on what made this his big breakthrough at number one?
I think this is one of those cases where this guy, he's been around for a couple years, and the music and the fans and sort of the message has always kind of been there. I mean, this may be too simple an example, but you introduce him to your friends, you know, your friends have never heard of Logic. Now they figure it out. Maybe he's playing some little local shows around, and the reach kind of just spreads in those kind of ways. Because he definitely seems like a young
right.
people's rapper.
So just good old-fashioned building up a fan base over a few years.
Yeah, I mean, that really seems to be the big thing. Like you said, it's not this huge hit single. He didn't change his sound. It wasn't this massive performance on SNL or the Today Show that really, you know, catapulted him. I think that's really inspiring probably for a lot of artists who are out there who, especially in a way as we talk nowadays, you know, if Bieber's putting out a song every week, the Chainsmokers every month, you know, I know people probably may get discouraged or think that, you know, pop music is just going to be top heavy, but, you know, there's still ways to break through.
It can be hard. It can be so hard, but you got to live right now. You got everything to give right now.
Leave 1-800 in the present, take a backseat real quick. We'll flash back to 1982, though, when we got, like, maybe the most famous phone number we've ever heard on the Hot 100.
The highest charting.
Hey, Logic's still out there, man. You know, you
so
never
far,
know.
You're
you
right.
never know. But, yeah, back in 1982 this week, Tommy Two Tone got all the way to number 4, 8675309 EIN. Huge hit, obviously. I mean, everyone, even if you don't know anything about Tommy Two Tone or you don't know anything about the song, really, you know the number and you know the jingle that goes with it, the little melody to it. So, yeah, Tommy Two Tone making a huge wave with this song. Jenny, that's Jenny's phone number, if you don't know. That's what's going to pick up if you call 867-5309.
But my favorite fun fact, I just discovered this when I was writing about this last week. The last name of one of the writers of 867-5309, his last name is Call.
Really?
How perfect is that? Alex Call co-wrote the song with Jim Keller.
Alex Call. Shout out to Alex. So yeah, with Tommy Two Tone, we got Logic. Any other phone numbers out there swirling around that have hit the Hot 100?
There's been a few over the years. The second biggest one after Tommy Two Tone, Wilson Pickett in 1966 had 634-5789 parentheses Soulsville, USA. All you got to do is pick up your telephone and dial now.
634-5789. What's my number? 634-5789. And if you need a little hugging.
That goes back even further, 1962. This is a phone number, Trevor. The phone number was Beechwood 45789.
45789.
Don't forget the Beechwood at the beginning. That's part of the phone number.
How do you type in Beechwood?
It was a telephone exchange name, this is before me. This is actually older than me. When you'd have to type in a word or say a word to the operator. You see it sometimes on like old TV shows, like on I Love Lucy. They'll call and they'll say an area, and then that the operator would connect.
Oh, maybe this is before like area codes were a thing or something, or long distance was a thing.
Just happy that there's something that predates me that I don't even know all the information about. 1988 Squeeze had a hit that's sort of similar to Tommy Two Tone's 853-5937.
Ooh, they saw the trend there. They jumped on it.
A very very quick trend in the 80s. Another one from the 80s too that people remember is The Time, number 88 hit 1982, just made the chart, 777-9311.
All right. A little phone number happenings going on there. I'm still surprised no one's put out like a 911 or something.
Well, 911 is a joke, but that never charted on the Hot 100.
Yeah, Public Enemy, Fear of a Black Planet, way back when. Yeah. But it also makes you wonder, you know, especially nowadays when people don't call each other nearly as much as they do, you know, is this one of the last phone numbers? I mean, they're not that common, I suppose. Too much, but is this the last number we may see on the Hot 100 for a while? No one calls anybody.
Right. People would just rather text than talk.
Exactly.
Can we just text the podcast to each other? Do we have to talk?
Maybe that'll be... I think it's probably a little more effective if we talk.
Fine.
People reading a long thread.
Fine. All right. That's this week's Chartbeat podcast. Next week, we'll see if there's another new number one on the Hot 100. If so, it would be 5 in 5 weeks. We haven't seen this kind of turnover since 1990. So we'll see if that can continue. Hadn't happened since 1990. You know who stopped the streak? Mariah Carey. There were 7 straight number ones in late 1990. And then Love Takes Time would not let go. It was number one for 3 weeks. And Whitney had to wait for Love Takes Time to finish before I'm Your Baby Tonight could get to number one.
It's not that she had to wait for Love Takes Time to finish. She finished Love Takes Time. I'm just saying.
Our Whitney Mariah battles will continue.
As will, of course, the Bieber battles on the Hot 100. So, of course, tune in next week, like Gary said, if we'll see a fifth number one. Who knows what it could... I mean, no obvious contenders, but you never know. Maybe one of these Harry Styles songs jumps out. Maybe the new TS6 single comes out of the sky. But yeah, be sure to tune in for that. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll have Lee back on the podcast as well next week, talking about Adele, Beyonce, Train, Calvin Harris, who's got a new album coming out as well, and Haim, who also have a new album out this summer. So we'll have a lot to talk with him about. And we will, of course, wrap with another awesome flashback. So make sure you guys tune in for all of that.
And right now we'll close with that song that was just such a huge number one hit, Love Takes Time, Mariah Carey.
Oh, my God. 3 weeks. Here we go.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable.
That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.